Now, when Nathan came to David in that portion that we've looked at already in 2 Samuel 12, and he said, "Thou art the man," remember the accusing finger was not essentially Nathan's, but it was God's. That was the way in which the Lord dealt with him, through his servant Nathan. And when David said, "I have sinned against the Lord," he expands that in his prayer in Psalm 51. And part of that expansion is revealed there in verse 4 as to what David meant when he said, "I have sinned against the Lord." And his very open and his honest acknowledgement now is really expressed when he says that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest. Now we might ask the question, what does David even mean when he says that? What is he talking about? Well, let me say what he's talking about here. He's saying this: I have no argument to bring. I have no protest to make. In other words, he's saying my sin is beyond doubt. And more so, he's saying this, that the course of justice that we will look at another time, that is beyond doubt and argument as well. So in the midst of his open acknowledgement, he's saying, God is just. All that he's doing, and I am unjust. Now you take that truth and you compare it to how many people think. That is not the thinking of the world. And the mindset of the people, you know, is essentially I'm right. And anything God allows is wrong. And it's all reversed here. This is true repentance, my friend. This is what a broken and a contrite heart is. And so as I develop this last thought with you, I want you to notice first of all that he is aware of the scope of his sin. This is humbling. Look with me at verse 4. He says, "Against thee, thee only have I sinned." You know, I've never ceased to be taken back by those words. Because I remember when I first laid my eyes upon that psalm, probably, of course, not long after I was saved, and began to think about what it really meant. The natural question is this: well, David, what do you mean? Against thee, thee only have I sinned. Did he not sin against Uriah? Of course he did. He murdered him, effectively, through sending him onto the battlefield. Did he not sin against and with Bathsheba and against his own body and life? Of course he did. Did he not sin against Joab in a sense, and that blood was now upon his hands, irrespective of how wicked that man was in other respects? Had he not sinned against his people? Against his kingdom? And none of that is denied. All of that is maintained. But David is not disputing that. That's not the point that is up for discussion here. I'll word it like this in the words of Spurgeon, who says, "The virus of sin lies in opposition to God." Because remember, even though these were all sins, and you know, grievous sins, awful sins, they were symptomatic of that greater essential problem that lies within every man. And even though, of course, this was a man of God, there were still those remnants of sin. Still echoes of that former rebellion. And reminding us that when we deal with the problem and the full scope of sin, that we must not employ the tactics or the approach of the world, that what they do, they trace outward, and they deal with individual things in an individual manner. No, the biblical method by dealing with sin is that you trace whatever that vice is, whatever that sin is, if it's adultery, if it's murder, if it's deception, if it's stealing, and it's like, you know, spokes, you trace it all in to the very center. And what is at the very center? It is this, my friend, that it is only against God that we've sinned. So that while David certainly sinned against man, essentially, he sinned against God. And all the time David would only see his sin being against man, he would not be brought back to fellowship with God. He must see it as against God. And I will say this, no person will ever be a Christian unless they come to a full and frank admission that their sin is not just a problem in their life that hurts other people, but it's against God.